Hi, this is Ashley Ando with the GEO. I'm just returning your call. The update that I can give you right now is that picket lines have temporarily ceased because a tentative agreement has been reached. What this means is now the wider GEO membership needs to carry out a ratification vote on the proposal, and we will have that vote later today.
Today is Monday, March 12th. I am Aaron Navarro, and this is your weekly Illini.
How did the daytime thing go?
Good, yeah, I think.
The Graduate Employees Organization ended their 14-day strike this past Friday. It was the culmination of a lot of canceled classes and picket lines and sit-ins, as well as a lot of coverage from our daytime staff. I'm here with Andrea Flores, who has been covering the past 2 weeks of the GEO strike for the Daily Illini.
So basically, how has the strike in the past 2 weeks affected our campus?
Our campus has been going through a major change that I haven't seen in my time here so far. There was just a lot of disarray. A lot of people were very confused about like what the state of things were. And by things, I mean not only the negotiations between the GEO and administration, which was kind of like under wraps for a while, but also like the schedules of students. You know, a lot of students didn't know if they would have class in a couple hours because if the strike was continuing, they would. But if it ended, they would not have class, or the opposite, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it just really affected the way students kind of went about their days, and that affected not only their grades, but also just their general daily life.
Mm-hmm. And as a daytime reporter, you yourself have to be kind of on your toes about that. So how was that like the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, being a daytime editor these last 2 weeks was really stressful in a way, just because I was always looking out for like press releases, just waiting to like see if it ended or if an administration would say anything. It was really kind of frustrating at times not to have all the information and not to get it out there. Mm-hmm. But it was also really, I guess, interesting to kind of be a part of this and be a part of getting the information out there.
Yeah,
because it just really, you know, it felt good to communicate these things out when they were kind of under wraps.
Yeah, to campus. One of the more interesting things was protesters were actually sitting in and like staying overnight in administration's offices. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, when I found out they were doing that, I was like so thrown. We had a screenshot of like a GEO's tweet that had a picture of like them setting up sleeping bags in, I think, Henry Administration Building. And I was working on a project for one of my journalism classes, so like I called the media person for the GEO, and she had said that they had been in there for like a few hours and they were not planning on leaving until mm-hmm. they like had something. And for a second I thought, well, that's a little dramatic, like yeah. Don't you want to go home? But at the same time, it was really cool just to hear that and think that people really care about what they're trying to achieve, and you know, they kind of got what they wanted.
Yeah, so what exactly did they want, and what exactly, from as far as we know so far, did they get?
Yeah, from what we know so far, they were able to get those guaranteed tuition waivers. There are like some stipulations attached to that, so like they can only have those waivers once they're like enrolled in a program, and then they'll be governed by that policy at the time of their enrollment, so they have to like stay in good standing and like go toward being in progress to graduation.
Yeah.
But they still were able to get those tuition waivers. Their healthcare coverage also increased, which was a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
As well as they have like percent raises for their wages, mm-hmm. which was really important. So it looks like a lot of their terms were met, just kind of modified. And I think that was expected. I just kind of feel like they should have reached this negotiation sooner, because yeah. it's been clear what they've wanted from the get-go, and shouldn't the administration have made a point to get them what they want, but also, you know,
find
do
some
it
compromise,
fast.
Yeah. So what do you think finally led to the administration, in a sense, caving in?
Honestly, like, it's hard to say. I just feel like the atmosphere on campus was really frustrated, and I think that's kind of what led administration to do it. I was talking to some professor, and they said, like, when strikes last this long, usually the
this is the longest strike
longest strike in history. When strikes last this long, usually the strikers don't get what they want, or anything at all. So the fact that they did, I just feel like was contributed to the fact that, you know, people really showed how much they cared about the GEO and what they do for the university. So I think just the support really led the administration to kind of come to terms.
Mm-hmm. And then you had daytime reporters kind of out on the scene talking to students, not just GEO members. What was the overall student attitude about the protest? I mean, there's a lot of classes being canceled, and that could be, students could be happy or sad about that, but what was the overall mood?
Yeah, most students were really supportive of the strike. Whenever we would ask, like, oh, what do you think of your teaching assistants? We're like, my teaching assistants teach me more than my professors sometimes. Mm-hmm. They help me more. So that's something I kind of expected to hear. I didn't expect to hear students kind of, like, upset about their classes being canceled because, like, on one hand, sure, you get to sleep in more, but what a lot of students were upset with was the fact that
Like midterms.
Their midterms still continued even though they didn't have class. Like they would just have to read the PowerPoints online and then take the class in a whole new building or something like that. So people were just really frustrated with how their curriculums were affected. Some people were also mad about the fact that they're not being compensated for the classes that they missed. Because, I mean, if you do go through the math, that's thousands of dollars, right, that you're missing out on for missing classes. But I just feel like they were generally supportive of the strike and wanting it to end, but wanting it to end on the GEO's terms for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we should know?
No, I think that the strike was one of the most interesting things that's happened on this campus since I've been here. And it really showed like kind of how the administration isn't always on the student side, which is a little sad to see. But in the end, they did come to terms. So,
all right. Awesome. Thanks for coming in, Andrea.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You're good. Okay. So in late February, 1/6 of a computer science class was caught cheating. We're here with staff writer Yasmin Ragab, who wrote the story. Yasmin, thanks for coming in. First off, 1/6, that's a decent amount. What happened?
So basically what happened was the students were caught cheating from a single source that was plagiarized, and the error appeared in every person who cheated their lab assignment. So the professor found out that way, and he was incredibly disappointed in the fact that they cheated on an assignment that was a walkthrough that had
have a lot of weight.
Yeah, the answer to the assignment was at the end of the assignment anyway.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And this is Professor Harris, right?
Albert Harris, yes.
Yeah. So how did he react? I know he sent an email, right?
Yeah, the email the email was sent to the students, everyone who was in that class, and he just expressed his disappointment in them.
I remember he talked a little bit about, you talked with, is it another professor at Computer Science ADVE, right?
The head of the Computer Science Department, interim head, Vikram Advay, who...
In the article, it talked a little bit about how he wanted to prevent situations of cheating like this happening again. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about what he said?
He thinks that cheating is not as prevalent as it might seem, but he did mention that it is particularly easy to do in a class like computer science because codes are easily transferable and you can copy them pretty much word for word or code for code. And so... he thinks that one way to prevent it would be to have students understand that they can start earlier and they can prevent that time crunch that they feel that they have when they start really late and the code is due in the morning, for example.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as the students that were caught cheating, it was like 1/6 of like a 108-person class.
So about less than 15 students.
Yeah. So what's happening next with them as far as you know?
The process does take a while. The course policy does state that you get a 0 on any assignment that you are caught cheating on, but Advay did say that they're still unsure how they're going to deal with those students.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Next week is spring break for U of I students, and it also means the beginning of turnover for the editors at the Daily Illini. Turnover pretty much means that every editor position sees a new person, and the newsroom begins to look a little different. One of the main positions that was filled before turnover, however, was the editor-in-chief position. I'm here with our current, as of this episode, EIC Lillian Barkley, as well as her successor, Abigail Paith.
So, Lillian, you have one more week until you are no longer the editor-in-chief of the Daily Illini. What has your term been like, and what would you like to say to students?
It's been a wild year. We've had a lot of really big news stories, and I hope that we've been able to relay those properly and be a great news source for all of the university plus alums. But it'll be very odd leaving. I've been with the Daily Illini since I was a freshman. I've come into this building at least once a week, usually once a day, since I was a freshman. So I will, I'll be finishing up my master's degree and having a lot more free time, but I'm sure going to miss it.
What would you say is the biggest story that happened during your term?
Undoubtedly the biggest story was the kidnapping of Yingying Zhang. That was one of the hardest things we've had to cover, both because of the emotional impact, the impact to this campus. It was national news, international news, and it's ongoing. That's probably the hardest thing for me as an outgoing editor, is knowing that it started over my summer and it won't have a conclusion for years. The trial's been pushed off so long. So having that that open-endedness is odd for a news story at a university level. So that's,
And with that open-endedness, that story will continue during Abby's term as editor-in-chief. Great segue. So, Abby, what are your goals for EIC for this upcoming year?
Well, our goals are always, honestly, just diversity of content, diversity of staff, making sure that we are presenting the best possible content that we can and that we're capable of, making sure that everything is presented correctly, portrayed accurately, and making sure that we represent every voice on campus.
And you've been here for this past year as well as a features editor. Was there something you picked up from just seeing how Lillian interacted in the newsroom that you maybe want to use?
Yeah, well, it's honestly very interesting because I followed Lillian from her features editor position, and now I'm following her as editor-in-chief. And honestly, it was really nice being able to work with her for pretty much all of my time here and watch how she is as a leader. She tends to be very, she lets people grow and lets them kind of, I don't want to say struggle, but she gives them the space to kind of learn on their own and then steps in when she feels it's necessary. So that's something that I've definitely been watching these last couple of weeks. And hopefully I can make her proud.
Definitely. Is there anything from last year that you kind of want to improve on?
I definitely think that that's a tough question. There's honestly, you can improve on pretty much anything. And especially as journalists, I think that something that we as a staff can really improve on is making sure that we are just present all the time. Making sure that we are out in the community talking to people, figuring out what they, what kind of stories they would like us to cover, where we can improve our breaking news coverage and everything like that. So,
all right, cool. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, just, I mean, as Abby said, I've known her for a really long time and I'm very confident in her abilities. So I am sure that I'm leaving the DI in competent hands with a good staff.
Good. Yeah, I think that I can speak for the whole staff, that we are very excited to continue forward, and hopefully we can just do a really great job this next year.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
With it being turnover, this also means that I will no longer be hosting the weekly Illini. So this is our last episode for a little bit. I want to thank Claire Hettinger, our old news editor, for giving me the chance to start the show back in March. And I also want to thank Jessica Brzezinski and Lillian Barkley for letting me continue it. It's been a great platform to bring you the sounds of our news, and I hope we'll be able to find a new host and bring it back to you But in the meantime, follow me on at Aaron Lara Navarro, AaronLaraNavarro on Twitter to keep up to date with any other podcasts I might do for the DI. And make sure to subscribe to our alumni interview series that I produce with Joe Longo, To the Orange. As always, if you liked or didn't like this episode, feel free to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Thanks to the Juju Exchange for the main intro and outro song we've been using this whole semester. That one's called The Exchange. Make sure to check them out. And thanks to Ben Schwartz for this awesome rendition of the Saturday Night Live closing theme song, A Waltz in A, written by Howard Shore. Thanks to all our reporters and editors and the sources we've talked to for this past year. And of course, thanks to you, the listener, for showing your love and feedback. It's been a pleasure. My name is Aaron Navarro. This is your weekly Illini. And have a good week and break, Champaign-Urbana.